Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up over there on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so something should be popping up there sometime tomorrow morning. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we greatly appreciate it. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with three E's.
So, you know, Dan, you know, I know you and I were both in the wrestling business for, you know, quite some time. And, you know, we don't do that anymore, and I don't even really watch too much of it anymore. Like I said, I did start recording AEW, but now I'm even starting to lose interest in that, so I don't know how much more that'll go on. But, you know, I kept seeing these ads for WWE about the Thunderdome. You know, they're bringing wrestling to the Thunderdome, and, it, you know, I was like, oh, okay, well, this might be kind of interesting to see. So they debuted it on Friday for their SmackDown show on Fox, and I turned it on, and then I quickly turned it off because I realized it's just fans on video monitors. You know, you're watching from home, and it was just kind of like, well, okay, that's not of any real interest to me. So I didn't stick around too long, but they, you know, they brought it back. Monday was the first night it worked for their Raw program, and there were some, I don't even know the best way to describe this, but I'm going to go with interesting, possibly, for what they did. One fan had what I believe was a cutout of Chris Benoit set up in front of his, for wrestling fans that don't know, Benoit was a former wrestler who killed his wife and child while he was employed by WWE. So yeah, not the best thing. You know, there were various things, you know, like one guy had an MJF 2020 sticker, which is a gimmick AEW is currently doing. But apparently the one that really caught the most attention was there was a fan, and now they say it was a man. To be fair, this could have also been a woman. In complete KKK garb, white hood and all. Well, yep, watching the show. So apparently, as they put it, WWE is attempting to figure out a way to, you know, ban certain people from being able to tune into this. And obviously, this guy is at the top of the list right now. So I just thought that was kind of strange. And now, you know, you do have to register online, you know, on WWE's website to be part of the show. And, you know, they do have terms and conditions that you have to agree to, like any, you know, like anything does, but that doesn't mean obviously you have to, you know, you have to follow these rules. It's completely up to you. And obviously, these people didn't, and especially the guy who decided to dress up in, you know, KKK outfit. I don't know, Dan. I mean, I'm looking at this, and is there really a way to control that? I mean, because all I'm thinking is even if they ban this guy, he makes up a new email and reapplies, right?
Yeah, but, I mean, if you have to give all your information, it'll get tedious after a while, you know, address.
Yeah,
phone number.
To be fair, you or I didn't sign up, so I don't know what entails, you know, registering you know, to this. They do mention removal and other penalties. Of course, they don't go into detail the other penalties are, but yeah, I just thought it was kind of strange. You know, I didn't see the guy. I didn't watch Raw last night, but yeah, I just, you know, it was kind of like, oh, okay. And I guess I kind of expected this to happen. Wouldn't have you?
Yeah.
So, you know, because obviously there are plenty of
KKK guards. But.
Yeah, I don't know if I would have expected anybody to go that far, but I would have completely expected people in, well, you know, even to get a Benoit cutout or whatever that was. Where the hell do you get that? How do you how'd you end up having that? You know, I mean, I think it's been 15 years now that he's been dead.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, who's hanging on to a Chris Benoit cutout? So, you know, just kind of strange. But yeah, you know, apparently, you know, if you're gonna do this, these are the things that are gonna happen. I don't know if they found a way to edit him out of the broadcast once they figured out what was going on. I don't know if there's a way, you know, they could just shut down one monitor or if there's, you know, other ways around it. But yeah, just. You know, and apparently it happened during the main event. So, you know, the guy waited till the end of the show to, you know, to do it. And I, you know, again, obviously WWE is going to get the blame here. But, you know, when you're sitting at your own, you know, you're sitting in your own house, you know, they really, there's really no control. I mean, you know, the NBA is doing this with fans at home, and I don't believe they've had an issue. So, you know, I mean, it's kind of out of your hands, right? I mean, it's your webcam. You're sitting in front of it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's like raising kids. Right? Just because you tell your daughter not to do something doesn't mean she's not going to do it.
Yeah, and I guess, you know, I don't know the whole thing behind it. I mean, for me, a webcam and watching something, I guess I'd have to set it up. I don't watch... I'm not a computer monitor person. Plus,
no,
I work all day. I work all day on my computer, so the last thing I want to do is go sit at my desk again. You know, one of the things for you and I, which would be cool, but I just don't even bother. Well, it might not be so great for you because you have the laptop, but, you know, with MLB.TV, you log on, you know, it's kind of cool because you could – you do multi-screens, you know, so for my current setup for work, I have three monitors in my, you know, home office. So let's just say somehow there was 12 games on at one time. I could literally watch all 12 between the three monitors I have. And you want to throw in an extra game? That's okay, because I can watch number 13 on my iPad and then put number 14 on my cell phone. But sadly, I can't use my other two iPads because they no longer support anything but Amazon Prime. but, you know, so, you know, I think it would probably be something like if I was still into WWE or, you know, in the Thunderdome. I mean, that sounds cool, but it sounds more like a pay-per-view event mixed with Mad Max. Then, you know, so, I mean, I guess that would be cool, but I don't know. It's a generational thing, and you know, I'm not going to knock anyone who's doing it. That makes you, yeah, go do it. No, I don't care. But it's not something that would work for me.
I'm sure there's, you know, a lot of fans, you know, excited to do that. And, you know, I mean, it would make you feel like part of the show. I get the, you know, the experience idea behind it, but yeah, kind of, you know, not my, you know, not my thing. And, you know, then, you know, I don't enjoy their, you know, their product enough to, you know, to probably go through whatever the registration process would be to actually get there. So, you know, but, you know, hopefully they work it out, because obviously, you know, with everything going on, there's, you know, zero place for that, and it just, you know, I mean, the random stupidity of people is kind of insane. So, you know, you just, you know what, you know, again, what, you know, what can you do? You know, like I said, I know they're going to get all the blame for it, but you know, in reality, it was kind of out of their hand. So, you know, just hopefully we, you know, they figure something out before Friday's show comes along. And, you know, because you know how it is with fans, right? Somebody's going to try to top that. So,
oh, yeah.
You know, who knows? But, yeah, so that was my odd wrestling news for the day. So, but yeah, you know, and I was looking, Dan. I'm noticing more and more fantasy football stuff popping up, and you know, I actually didn't really realize it. You know, our drafts are not this weekend, but the weekend after.
Wow, it'll be here.
Yeah,
so that's Labor Day weekend, correct?
Yeah, you know, for some reason I thought it was the weekend before, but people keep telling me it's Labor Day weekend. Normally we do it on Labor Day weekend, so that's nothing new. But, yeah, for whatever reason, I thought it was the weekend after, but I'll have to look at the calendar and try to figure it out. But, you know, I'm guessing since you were kind of as surprised as I was, you've done about as much research as I have.
Yeah, I don't really do a whole lot of NFL research. I mean, I'm not that great with it.
Yeah, I got a text from Mr. Fantasy because, you know, we get one keeper in our money league, and he goes, who's our keeper? Like, dude, I don't even know who was on our team last year. So yeah, I was like, you know, who, you know, I thought we were keeping the running back from Buffalo is what we decided, but you know, I was like, whatever, you know, if you got something else in mind, go ahead. I'm okay with it. But yeah, so while we are in fantasy football, we do have our two leagues up and ready to go. I know one is at 19, so we're just looking for one more there. The other one is still down around, I think it's 14. So we're still looking for some people. Surprisingly, you know, normally, especially football, normally fills up really fast. But for whatever reason, this year we're kind of scuffling. But you know, if you're interested, well, like always, we do them through free. For free, we run it through Yahoo. You know, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. You send us an email, we'll send you the link, sign up free. You know, like I said, the draft's, you know, not this weekend, but next weekend, and get in and help us out. So, you know, I'm kind of thinking, Dan, maybe the slow registration is because it just doesn't feel like football should be starting, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that, and, you know, I was going to say, hey, Big Jack, maybe everyone's not signing up because they made their plans for Labor Day weekend, but, I mean, what kind of plans are you really making, right?
Yeah, that's the one thing this year. You can't really complain too much about the draft being Labor Day weekend because where are you going? So, you know, it's not like, you know, you're going to be, you know, out and about or going to a water park in Tennessee. Can you go to water parks in Tennessee now?
I think you still can.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure. So maybe you could do that. But, yeah, it's just, you know, again, it's kind of like, oh, okay, you know, here, what else are you going to do? You know, let's hang out and have a draft and, you know, see what goes on. But,
yeah, well, you know, unfortunately in my neighborhood, in my county, I'm in Will County, you can no longer patronize restaurants indoors. You have to have a reservation for outdoor seating. But I can simply drive to Cook County, which is barely 15 minutes from my house, and go sit inside a restaurant. So Make sense of that, Big Jack.
Yeah, you know, it's just everything is just so weird with, you know, all of this. I don't understand a lot of it. Like, I've seen that, I think it's the Dolphins and the University of Miami are going to allow 13,000 fans in at games. And then I saw today that the University of Tennessee is planning on letting 25,000 fans into games. So it's just like, oh, okay. No problem with that. It just a lot depends on where you live.
Well, and yeah, you know, I saw a story from, you know, one of the things I follow on Facebook from someone who posted a thing on Jared Goff and how he's talking about how great the stadium they're going to play in is and, you know, all that good stuff. And, you know, I made the quick comment, yeah, we'll see who gets, you know, who's actually going to get to sit in it. Not going to be any fans, you know, kind of that old thing. But, you know, people immediately commented with, you know, hey, they're going to let 20% capacity in. And, you know, of course there's those few jokesters like, yeah, what they're used to. But, you know, I mean, and this was one of those subtle ones. So no one was arguing or calling names or anything, but I'm like, you know, I just said, well, yeah, we'll see, you know, we'll see how things change. I mean, I'm not going to, you know, if you're a fan of the team, I'm not going to knock it at all, but I'm not going to wish it on anybody. I'm just saying, like, with the way everything keeps changing with the, you know, the minute you sneeze, it's different. So,
I guess my biggest concern is, like, I don't have a problem. You know, you want to let people in, you know, that's fine. I get it. You know, this is, you know, you need to make your money. You know, I mean, let's be real here. That's what it's about. It's a business. You know, but are those people going to socially distance like they were told to? You know that's not going to happen.
Yeah, I know. That's the part that makes it rough. I mean, it's all going to be on the ushers, you know.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you got to imagine, I don't know, it's just, from what I understand, there's an organization, and I wish, Big Jack, that I would have listened to my mom 20 years ago. Go to school for computers. What does that mean?
Yeah.
I still don't, you know, maybe if I understood what that meant, I would have. But, you know, there's so many different things back in, you know, the early 2000s where it was like, go into computers. Well, computer is a computer, and there's 1,000 things you could do. So I wish I had, you know, kind of gone that path and understood, but, you know, it's not like it is today where everyone uses computers and a lot of stuff. But there's a company that, you know, does some analytics and, you know, just seating capacity, you know, stuff that was prior to COVID that didn't have anything to do with social distancing, but more so with, you know, how things were organized and this and that, and that they're working with, you know, some of the stadium or teams are working with these companies so that they can have it set up to where, you know, depending on your order, you know, if you have, because I think it's, what, 2, 4, and 6, you can't have more than 6 people together. So I guess this is something, you know, the Cubs were looking into, Theo was looking into also before, you know, that was all kiboshed on them. Being that there's no fans allowed at the Cubs Park and baseball, but, you know, to where they're getting the data analytics. And I think that's where it can be pretty easy with that. And they shouldn't have a problem. You know, it's just a matter of, you know, 5 beers in, is that guy going to continue to listen? Is he going to stay in his seat? Yeah. You know, things like that.
Yeah. That's the difficult part with it. You know, when you get to that, and you know, who's going to listen and who's not, you know, how many fights are we going to get over about, well, you know, I don't want to wear my mask. You know, well, you said you'd wear your mask if you came in. And, you know, I mean, like I saw, what the hell did I see the other day? Apparently there's now a religious reason for you not to wear your mask. And you can actually get a signed, like, little affidavit card that you wear from your pastor or reverend or whoever, stating that you don't have to wear this mask, but you still are supposed to be treated like everybody else. And if not, you know, they can be charged with whatever. I don't know anybody who would charge anybody with anything for something stupid like that, but... Yeah, I mean, there, you know, and it's just so odd to me because I'm like, it's just the mask. There's so many more important things that we should be talking about and fighting over, and you people want to fight about a mask. It's like, really? I just imagine what it's going to be like to get some drunk. You know, you get a bunch of drunk fans in a football stadium.
Yeah, and I'm not, you know, a huge fan of it, but, you know, when I'm going out, do what you got to do. You know, I need to get the stuff I need for the house. I got to put the stupid mask on, you know.
You know, I mean, you know, the way I look at it is I'm not really in the store that long. It sucks. You know, I hate wearing it. You know, I had to buy one of the ones that wrap around the Velcro because the cotton ones fog my glasses up and I can't see jack shit. So, you know, I actually went out and bought, you know, a little, I think it was about $10. So it wasn't a huge deal, you know, just so I could wear something that, you know, I wouldn't have to deal with my glasses every time I had it on. But yeah, you know, I mean, you know, I'm in the store, you know, the longest I'm ever in the store is, you know, 20, 30 minutes. I can, you know, yeah, it's an inconvenience. The minute I get outside, I take it off. I'm happy. You know, there you go. It's over with. So.
Yeah, and I mean, I went the extra step and ordered. You'll laugh. A company was selling hat clips. So you put these clips on your hat, and then, you know, those clips could that's where you hook up your, what do you call it? The mask itself. So, I mean, of course, because of COVID, the production slowed down completely and they don't expect them to come till like, I don't even know when. So,
yeah.
But I, you know, like you said, it is what it is. And, you know, it's, you know, and that's one of the things, you know, AMC Theaters released a thing a while back about, you know, when they weren't going to do require masks in the theater. And, you know, and this is where it doesn't make any sense to me. And if you live in Illinois, I don't know about the other states, but, you know, masks are required to do anything and everything. But the minute you get to the restaurant and sit down, then it's okay. You know, we're all 6 feet apart, so it's okay. So in the event that I, you know, were to go to a movie, I was good. I was like, oh, okay, I'll use that gift card I have and go see something. But then you're required to wear the mask the entire time. Well, then, you know, they're like, well, you know, they made a post about enjoyment and movies. And I'm like, how the hell are you going to enjoy a movie for two? And the way they make movies now, you know, two and a half, 3 hours wearing a mask the entire time. And what was the whole point of going to the movies? I wanted to get a big old drink. I wanted to get a big popcorn, some Twizzlers, you know.
Yeah.
What are you supposed to do? But, you know, at the same time, it's like, well, if I'm sitting in my seat and the next guy or girl or couple is 6 feet away, what do I have to wear that mask for? If I get up and move my way to go to the bathroom, okay, I get it. So I'm like, well, that's a waste. Maybe I, you know, I'll use that gift card in what, 3 years maybe? I don't know.
Yeah.
But, you know, but I mean, even, you know, even here in Chicago, it's like our governor and the Chicago mayor were like, you have to wear them. You have to follow this 6 feet, 6 feet, blah, blah, blah. And we're going to shut down your restaurant. We're going to, you know, felonize owners who don't require it. We're going to do all this stuff to law-abiding citizens. but then all of a sudden we're going to have protests in March, in marches.
Yeah.
Well, that social distancing goes out the window and none of it matters. You know, and the masks, well, yeah, everyone's going to wear a mask because they're freaking rioting. Not all protesters, but the rioters definitely have their masks on, you know, because they need to conceal their identity. So it's like you just misinformation left and right. And it's like, well, we don't really even know where to go or what to do. So it'll be interesting when the NFL season starts and they're, you know, at 20% capacity. And, you know, I don't know if you've seen a thing from the Packers. And this to me is huge, Big Jack. I don't care what anyone says, Cubs or Cubs fan, Bears fan or not. When 98% of Green Bay Packers season ticket holders opt out, I mean, that's a huge impact. And that, to me, is kind of telling you, like, I get it. It goes from state to state, and the government can't federally mandate anything. But at the same time, I mean, you know, you kind of take a look at it, and it's like, what's the best decision to make here?
Yeah. Yeah, it is odd that, you know, it was Packer fans who, you know, I thought for sure would just show up for games regardless.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that were like, no, it's okay. But, you know, I know, like, some places, you know, like, I know, you know, like, the Raiders aren't going to have fans. You know, I know the Eagles aren't going to have fans. You know, there's a lot of places that aren't even going to get to 20%. You know, it's going to be nobody. So, you know, I think that may – it may be the weirdest of all for football, not having fans. So,
oh, yeah.
You know, I'll be interested to see how that kind of shakes out or plays out, but – you know, I mean, you know, it looks like they're going to start on time. You know, they've been, you know, there was a lot of concern that they were going to push the dates back, but, you know, they look to be starting on time. You know, they've been doing their testing. I know there was some concern because they had, I think it was 77 positives and everybody was concerned. Turned out there was a problem with the lab they were using and they were all false positives. So, they've worked out that issue and, you know, now we'll just, you know, it's kind of, well, let's see what happens when it gets here. And hopefully, you know, you don't have the, you know, the issues like some of the baseball teams have went through. You know, I mean, I'll be shocked if they make it through an entire football season, even though it is just, you know, 16 games. If they get through it without one team having some kind of outbreak, I'll be completely flabbergasted if that happens. So... you know, but that, you know, again, hopefully, you know, you hope for the best and, you know, just kind of be like, okay, let's go. I mean, you know, eventually you got to kind of let everybody live their lives, don't you?
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the thing. Yeah. You know, everything was COVID. They died because of COVID, but, you know, someone who died in a car accident who had COVID, the COVID death. You know, someone who had terminally ill cancer and, you know, sneezed that had COVID, they were considered a COVID death. So, you know, it's just so much misinformation by everybody that you don't even know what to do. You know, and that was one of the things I brought up in a work meeting was, you know, eventually we're all just going to have to live our lives. You know, a lot of us could have had COVID and didn't even know it.
Yeah, I realize the COVID numbers are very much like war. You know, the war stance for analytics, it's highly flexible depending on, you know, how you deal with it. So, you know, just one of those, one of those things you get to deal with. But, you know, sports wise, I did see that Aaron Judge is set to return for the Yankees. You know, Dan, and I guess them, you know, missing this series with the Mets wasn't the worst thing for them because it gave them a chance to get their guys healthy. You know, so now they'll get Judge back. You know, Torres shouldn't be too far away from returning. I don't know what Giancarlo Stanton is. I'm guessing he probably could have hurt himself while he was trying to rehab. So I don't ever want to kind of assume that he's coming back. But yeah, Tampa made up some ground and took over first place, but I believe the Yankees are back in first, even though they're playing. So I don't know. Is this kind of a positive for them? Because I think they only missed three games, so it's not going to be a ton to make up like the Cardinals or the Marlins. So a little rest won't kill them, right?
No, not at all. And I was doing a double take. Is Glaber injured or on the IL too?
Yeah, he had I thought I saw he had a hand something.
He's on one of my teams. I was doing a double check. Because, I mean, this is one of those seasons where I have, like, max IL spots on both sides, both leagues. It's been rough. And, I had to let go of Starlin Castro. He's going to have wrist surgery. And, he's supposedly going to be back by the time the playoffs hit. But, fantasy baseball doesn't go into playoff season. So I felt it was useless to keep him on my team. So that one kind of hurt, personally, because I like the guy, but, it kind of makes sense that he was having wrist issues and why his bat seemed to drop as the season went on.
So, yeah, I know, we do have two games right now. The Astros are beating the Angels 6-2. And the Marlins are ahead of the Mets 3-0. This is the Mets' first game back. And I believe the Phillies and the Nationals should be starting rather quickly here. But I believe it's a full night being Tuesday. So, and I did see I don't know if I want to call this surprising or not, Dan, but the Indians recalled Mike Clevinger. And they are planning to start him, I believe, tomorrow. Yeah, he's going to start tomorrow against the Twins. Oddly, they didn't bring Plesac back. They just brought Clevinger back. I gotta tell you, Dan, I think Clevinger's faux pas was worse than Plesac's. So I'm under the impression that the Indians have now prioritized winning, since they're doing so well. So they're going to kind of overlook this little incident now with these two guys, because Clevinger is the better pitcher out of the two, and they're playing the Twins. So, you could use a good start, there. And especially since, the White Sox have been playing so well, they've now tied the Indians for second place. So, I guess you're only going to be morally correct for so long until you need to start to win.
Yeah, well, I think this was an internal thing too. We had discussed that I think you had to take it to the team and the players and, not just a front office, numbers decision, but, and not only that, we don't know the conversations that Clevinger had with his teammates.
Yeah.
In front of, the whole thing. So I'm not totally against it. I don't think it's as so much as a moral high road, like with the Cubs. I'm never going to let it go. It was okay to allegations on Aroldis was okay to bring him in and support him. But when it happened to your guy, Russell, you took 30 steps back and just let him,
Oh, hang on. You're off Bluetooth there. I can barely hear you. So.
It's okay this time, but winning.
I don't.
Like that. I see it's interesting that.
Keep getting kicked off on Bluetooth. It's interesting that the position they're in, they're okay with bringing them back, like you said.
Yeah. So, yeah. And, you mentioned, we don't know what the team has said, if anything. I would like to think that they've ran it past his teammates, on if they're going to be okay with him coming back. And, I guess maybe I don't have too big of an issue with him coming back. You know, they did serve quite a bit of time down there. I just find it interesting that only one of them is coming back. You know, and again, like I said, I believe what Clevenger did was much worse than what Fleetback did. Clevenger actually got on the plane with his teammates, not telling them he had been out the night before. So, you know, in reality, he could have infected the entire team, where Plesak got caught trying to get back into the hotel. So he was put in the car and made to drive himself home. So, I understand Clevenger's the better pitcher. We're not going to argue that. And, you know, they want to win games, and I guess try to convince Francisco Lindor to stay for less money or whatever they're going to try to do with him there. I don't think that's going to work, but, you know, good luck. I think, or maybe, so we'll see. But, you know, like I said, I just thought it was interesting that it was just one of them coming back.
Yeah, well, I've got two for you. You got to wonder if, you know, the fact that Plesak got on and with his little rants, if that kind of gave him, you know, a notch down on that totem pole. But
Hang on, you're off your Bluetooth again.
You know, you never know.
I guess your Bluetooth just doesn't like you today, huh? Oh, okay. Well, now I can't hear Dan at all. So I don't know what, you know, I don't know what happened. Doesn't look like we lost him. So let's see if we're. Dan, I don't know why your Bluetooth hates you today. What did you do to it? So.
I don't know. What did you even hear?
Not much since the last thing I heard you say was talking about Plesak making the Instagram post, and that was about it.
I lost my old train of thought, I guess. How many people do you think dropped Plesak or Clevenger? And then that sucks. You know, you had mentioned the thing about trying to keep Lindor and they're in the position to win. Do you think it's a matter of, hey, they might as well go for the win and get the trophy? It's better to have a trophy than no trophy?
Yeah, you know, I mean, in the position we're in, and like you and I have talked about it, even though, you know, like we're not going to see it as an actual World Series champion, you know, it's not going to stop the team from flying a banner and buying rings and all celebrating it like it's a, you know, 162-game win. And, you know, at this point, they have a really good starting rotation, you know, with Clevenger in it. And, you know, they just got a really good start from, you know, one of their prospects. What is it, Tristan McKenzie, I think his name was. So, you know, they're in a really interesting position, you know, because, again, you know, like we saw with the Nationals last year, all you really need to do is get in. You know, you let that pitching take over, and, you know, Cleveland could really be one of those teams where it's like, okay, hey, here we are, and now we're going to win our pitching for the world. Shane Bieber has just been, you know, almost unstoppable. He pitches tonight. You know, you get Clevenger tomorrow. You know, Carlos Carrasco is a nice veteran to have, and then you know, Aaron Savali has been pulling in for Plesac, you know, along with Adam Pluto. So it's a, you know, not only is it a nice rotation, it's a young rotation. You know, with the exception of Carrasco, none of these guys, well, I think Clevenger might be older, but, you know, none of the other part of the rotation is even 26 yet. So, you know, it's definitely a, you know, a good spot for them to be in. Just, you know, dependent. So, yeah, I guess, you know, you might as well see what you can do and, you know, maybe even deal, you know, their big weakness seems to be outfield. You know, so they seem to have some extra pitching. Maybe you try to dump one for an outfielder, you know, and maybe that's Plesac. Maybe he's the guy who's going to be, hey, you know, we're going to, you know, we're going to ship him off instead of, you know, Clevenger and see if they can get an outfielder in return.
You know, when you brought up, you know, they're up against the Twins. That's, for Cleveland, this is going to be a huge series. But, you know, kind of sticking with that AL Central, you know, do you see one of these three teams just taking it all the way? Indians, White Sox, or the Twins? I mean, let's be honest, there's only 60. Technically, if you're the Dodgers, who have seemed to escape all issues, there's only 30 games left. You know, they're sitting high and mighty at 22-8. But when you look at, you know, the challenge or the fight in the AL Central, you know, we haven't really seen anything like this for a while with the Twins, the Sox, especially, and then Cleveland. Their run differential, I didn't know that comes into play now. I don't know how that works. But, you know, do you see one of these three just going all the way or, you know, even possibly having a CS between two of these two teams?
Yeah, you know, like, you know, talking about Cleveland, I wouldn't be surprised to see them get on a run and, you know, just you know, mow through, and the next thing you know, they're in the World Series. You know, I mean, could they beat the Dodgers? You know, it's possible. The Dodgers had some rough postseason luck, you know, especially, you know, World Series-wise. So, you know, we'll have to see. I mean, honestly, I think if I would, you know, if I was in the World Series against the Dodgers, I would put somebody in my dugout throwing it on a garbage can just to see if I could throw them off mentally, even though it wouldn't mean anything. But, you know, I'd like to, yeah. So, you know, just one of those things. But, yeah, you know, like I think the White Sox are too young. You know, I think, you know, if they just get in the playoffs, that's a good experience for them. You know, it's hard to be sold on Minnesota. You know, they made some, you know, some really nice changes, but has Donaldson even played this year? I try to remember that if he played, he hasn't done much. So, you know, I'm not quite sure. No, it looks like he is. I think he's injured here. Let me see. Yeah, he actually has a strained calf. He's on the DL, or IL, excuse me. You know, your guy Jake Odorizzi just got hit by a line drive, so now he's on the IL. Nobody will be surprised to find out that Byron Buxton is on the injured list. You know, that's not going to shock anybody. So, yeah, you know, and, you know, you kind of wonder, you know, I mean, I know Kenta Maeda almost threw a no-hitter the other day, but, you know, he's always been kind of a reliever in the playoff. You know, then you're looking at Rich Hill. I don't know how much you're counting on Rich Hill, and for whatever reason, Jose Berrios has just had a horrible year. You know, you add in Randy Dobnik, who's having a really good rookie season, and then Odorizzi would be kind of that fifth guy if he's healthy. I don't know. Does that sound like a rotation that can get you through? You know, I mean, what's Hill going to give you in the playoffs, 3-4 innings?
Yeah, well, like you said, Maeda was the kind of a reliever when it came to playoff time. So do you use just the two, that combo? Does that become your combo?
Yeah, well, you know, a lot of Maeda having to be a reliever was the fact that he was with the Dodgers. I think if he was with any other team, he probably would have been a starter. But, you know, again, it's just so different. I can't see the rotation holding up to give them enough. And then, if you know, you can't get Donaldson healthy, you know, you're taking – well, I mean, I know, you know, Nelson Cruz is just unbelievable, being that he's a little over 40 and he's hitting better than, you know, most guys in the American League at this point. But, you know, in the playoffs, you're going to need Donaldson. Yeah, you know, you're going to need Donaldson's bat to back him up. You know, I mean, the one thing is, you know, they do have a bullpen that really produces. I mean, it's kind of unbelievable that Sergio Romo still just flies out with that slider, because you'd think by now everybody would know, oh, yeah, he's throwing the slider, but it still works. You know, Taylor Rogers has been a solid closer, and, you know, oddly, Tyler Clippard has done really well as, you know, the opener, as they call it now. So kind of a surprise there that he's kind of had a little bit of a rejuvenation. But, you know, come playoff time, I don't know if I want to be looking at Tyler Clippard in the eighth inning to get me three out.
Yeah.
So, there's a lot of – I think there's a lot more questions with the Twins than with either the White Sox or the Indians. But, I guess it's possible one of them gets hot and rolls, isn't it? But can you think, you think any of them could get by the Yankees?
Well, that was going to be my next question. Well, yeah, if you have some garbage cans and some, you know, some ways to cheat. You know, if Aroldis can get on a groove and, you know, they get to that point, I mean, they're technically in first place, not based on games played. You know, Tampa's actually in the lead, which I find just insane that Tampa's sitting at 19-11. The hell do they do down there? But, you know, it'd be interesting to see what goes on. And, you know, if all these teams keep playing the way they're playing, Houston could be the odd team out. And it's just going to, you know, the sad part about it, too, is it's just going to put that red flag up even more so. You know, if anyone was not a believer, you know, if anyone wasn't a believer, you know, before, then this is just going to add fuel to that fire. I mean, we've already seen the Red Sox at the bottom of the barrel. You know, they had to get rid of their best player, who's, you know, now a Dodger. And, I mean, look at – of course, it didn't start off that quickly for Mookie in L.A., but – you know, he's taken off there, and that team's just on fire. So, you know, this is just making Houston look worse. And, you know, I honestly think, you know, you asked me if, you know, COVID and all that going to take away, you know, are we going to be done talking about it? In a sense, yes, but at the same time, this off season when stuff is evaluated, I think people are going to come back to it. You know, there's going to be some guys who are like, man, Houston and Boston, you know, they got caught. Now look at them.
Yeah, Boston, you know, we talked a little bit about them. You know, I can understand their fall being that they're missing their two best starting pitchers.
Yeah.
And, you know, the odd part about it is it's almost like they were more intent on making sure they were under the luxury tax than they cared about winning this year, because they knew Chris Sale wasn't going to pitch this year, but they didn't do anything to try to replace him.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you got to kind of question them. And then, when, you know, when Rodriguez goes down, they don't do anything there either. So, you know, you kind of start looking at it, and you're just kind of like, was it more important that they saved that money than they were competitive this year? And, you know, being that it's a 60-game season and obviously there's no fans, you wonder if maybe they just kind of, you know, put the season on the back burner and, you know, went that route.
I mean, that's definitely highly possible. You know, I mean, you're coming off, you know, I wouldn't say the most controversial season because, you know, we found out the year later, but you're coming off a huge controversy. And I think it was just time to, you know, save face. I think it helped save Mookie's face. And the fact that, you know, when he first went to LA, he wasn't doing anything. It kind of was like, ooh, maybe he was on that cheating train. But now he's picked it up. So, you know, maybe a difference being that, you know, he was in the AL to the NL. That was kind of one of those things. But, you know, I think Boston just has to take that time to rebuild their reputation again. I mean, you know, already the complaints for the most racist city in America, supposedly. You know, we've heard the, you know, we've heard the comments from Baltimore outfielders. So, you know, and then the cheating you had on top of that. So, like you said, I think it was, maybe it was wise for them to try to do everything they can to get underneath that luxury tax and then try to start to build that reputation again. I mean, you know, one of the other things that socially came out a few years back, I forget, you know, who in the organization, how high up, was, you know, ousted and was a blatant racist or whatever, and they had a street named after him and, you know, stuff like that or her. So, you know, that was all kind of rectified. So you got to wonder if, you know, they're in the mode of, you know, trying to rebuild their reputation.
Yeah, you know, because, like, when you look at their, you know, their everyday starting nine, they're, you know, it's not a bad lineup. You know, so they'll be able to hit, but, you know, then you get into their rotation and, you know, with Sale and Rodriguez gone, that makes Nathan Eovaldi your number one. They signed Martin Perez, who's been a, you know, a journeyman starter. You know, they picked up Zach Godley, who I think he did most of his work with the Diamondbacks. And then they brought up Kyle Hart, who was one of their draft picks from 2016. You know, so they've been, you know, kind of the basis of the starting rotation. They acquired Nick Pivetta from the Phillies, but for some reason he's at their alternative site. I don't know why he's not their fifth starter, because I figured that's why they went out and got him, you know, especially because they gave up two pretty decent bullpen arms to get him. Mm-hmm. But, you know, he's at that wonderful alternative site. So, yeah, but, I mean, you know, obviously, you know, that's not – even with Pivetta in it, I mean, he's a decent pitcher, but that's not a rotation that's going to scare anybody. You know, I mean, you know, Eovaldi's a decent pitcher, but he's kind of hot and cold. You know, again, like I said, Perez is a journeyman. Godley has never, you know, I mean, he's been an average starter, and Hart is a rookie. You know, Hart's a 28-year-old rookie. So that tells you all you need to know right there. So, yeah, they just didn't, you know, again, like I said, they were more interested in saving money than winning this year, and I honestly just think, you know, once the season got shortened, I think they made the conscious decision, and obviously they won't admit it, but they made the conscious decision to just kind of let this season go and save that money.
Yeah, well, isn't this kind of their MO? And, you know, is it one of the things that Theo didn't like about the team, and that's why he ran, or he just couldn't handle the pressure from people, you know, questioning him? Is the fact that that seems to be their MO. I mean, we've seen it time and time again. You know, they spend a bunch of money, and then when it doesn't work out, you know, within a, seems like a 2-year span, they, you know, call up the Dodgers. Like, hey,
yeah.
We got all these guys that we paid too much money for. You guys want to take them and somehow benefit
the
guys that were doing it?
We need you guys to bail us out again. Can you help us out? So.
Yeah, you know. It's like the banks calling the U.S. government, you know. You know, so, I mean, you got to wonder if that's just their M.O. And, you know, when they run out of, you know, when they kind of backed into a corner, like, well, let's just free it up again and start over. But, you know, and it's funny because we say that word start over. You notice what I didn't say was rebuild, because if there's one thing I've learned, especially in this decade, you know, 2010 to 2020, is that the successful teams do not rebuild. And what I mean by successful, I mean playoff ready, you know, fan base, the whole nine. And I'm not saying that a team like the Royals or the Pirates aren't successful, but they aren't successful in keeping their fan base happy and drawing them to the stadium, you know, and things like that. You know, yeah, the Royals were successful in getting Patrick Mahomes to invest in their team, which I think is amazing because you got a young man who's set to be in KC forever. You know, his dad played for the Royals, so he's got some history with the K. But, you know, when you look at dynasty teams, I don't know if that's the right word, but successful teams, Dodgers, even the Giants, the Yankees, the Red Sox. I was going to throw the Cubs in there, but we all know they did the rebuild. And, you know, is that one of the reasons that Theo didn't want to stay in Boston also? Because they weren't really ready or willing to tear down a team to zero and, you know, put together 3 or 4 or 5 seasons, you know, and garner almost 600 losses. You know, and that's kind of the one thing I've heard with this game is, you know, the successful ones don't rebuild. They just kind of restart. You know, what is the word I'm looking for? Because, I mean, you know, I mean, the Red Sox were in the bottom of the barrel, and then all of a sudden they came out and win a World Series. And, you know, I'm talking about 2013.
Yeah, no, you know, I mean, you know, like you mentioned, you know, a good team or a perennial playoff contender, you know, sure, they have a down year here or there. You know, that happens to everybody where maybe, you know, they didn't make the playoffs. But, yeah, they don't ever slip it down like, you know, we've seen the Cubs do, we've seen the Sox do. You know, the Pirates and the Royals always have to do that for financial reasons. You know, the Tigers are going through that right now. The Reds are still kind of in the middle of it, even though they were a really popular pick this season, and it, you know, hasn't really went their way. So, you know, you can tell they're not quite there yet. But, yeah, the other teams, they just kind of reload. You know, I mean, the Yankees were down for a few years, but they were never completely down, and they were able to go out and, you know, reload their guys. You know, they got Judge through their system. You know, they brought Cece in. You know, that they, you know, they knew to trade Aroldis because they weren't going to win, and there was a good chance they could get him back. So, you know, they picked up a kid who's going to be their, you know, their shortstop for a really long time. Hell, you know, just last year they grabbed LeMahieu when nobody else wanted him. You know, and he almost won the American League MVP, and nobody wanted the guy. So, you know, I mean, that's just, you know, being smart on their part. And I, the Red Sox, you know, they could get a quick turnaround. I mean, they have a really good everyday lineup. If you get Sale and Rodriguez back healthy next year, it could be a fast turnaround. We may be talking about them if they add another pitcher.
But yeah, you know, and honestly, I don't see them as just a team that, yeah, it sucks if you're a Red Sox fan this year, but I think a lot of people in baseball are just kind of, well, you know, it is what it is. Not getting too caught up in this season. But, I mean, I think you're right, you know, that the Red Sox can turn it around. We might be talking about them again next year. Anytime you want to make it to the podcast, go over to the podcast.